This is Portal to Ascension Radio, and this is your host, Neil Gore, thanking you and welcoming you so much to the Portal to Ascension Radio show that we are going out into the cosmos with this awareness, fractaling out to all of creation, all the multiverses, and then back down to Earth to create this epic awareness platform that really bridges space and time and also cracks it open and goes into other dimensions. So today we're going to go ahead and bring on Meg Benedicte, and we're still going live, everyone, with our series from the Portal to Ascension Conference. I created so much content, we're just pushing it out on every level. The videos of these interviews are actually on YouTube, so you can check that out, youtube.com/portaltoascension. And as always, if you love what you're hearing and you really want to support us, please do. I've been deplatformed from FB and IG, and our reach has been completely squashed, and we're doing everything we can in order to bring it back up and keep getting this out to as many people as we could before, plus more, you know. And there's a constant, I don't like to use the word attack, but there's a constant influx of energy that is contradicting what we're trying to put out here, right? So just if you want to, you can go to patreon.com/portaltoascension, sign up there and support us, and you can get free bonuses as well from signing up. So today we have Meg Benedicte, and she discovered early on that she had a unique gift for understanding subtle energies and later for discerning the vigorous traumatic patterns that relate to dysfunction and ill health. Over the years, Meg has become a notable pioneer in quantum healing and ascension activations, first through her own transformation and eventually working with clients spanning the globe. Meg recognized her passion and gift for seeing beyond the world and into the subtle energies of those around her at a very young age. Blessed with a natural psychic ability, she began to understand the keys to life's struggles, pain, and disease, and was driven to transform her own debilitating life patterns. Pursuing an array of therapeutic treatments, she was relentless in her pursuit for finding a healing modality that worked and was successful when uncovering a vision into deeper levels of consciousness. As a pioneer in energy healing and sacred geometry, Meg experienced a profound awakening in 1994 that activated her inherent template for performing and understanding the mechanics of quantum vortex as a powerful tool for transformation. It was during the 1994 earthquake, actually, in Northridge, that she experienced a spontaneous kundalini activation that opened her energy body to accept a divine soul walk-in. And we're actually doing, we just did a walk-in conference, guys. Check that out, portaltoascension.org. And activated her channel with Archangel Metatron and the Syrian High Council. This experience was life-transforming as Meg discovered through the guidance and wisdom of Metatron the magnitude of change possible when tapping into the zero-point field of a spinning torus vortex, the source of creation for the universe. So let's go ahead and welcome on to Portal to Ascension Radio, Meg Benedicte.
How are you, Scott? It's good to see you again.
Good, good to see you too. What Meg's referencing is that she has been on our show, Saturday Night Alive for the Global Peace Tribe, a few times, including last weekend. And so as a way of introducing Meg, I just want people to know that this is a woman who truly understands what ascension means. She's living it. She's experiencing ascension. She understands kind of our history and where we're coming from, but she has been on the forefront of the ascension movement for a long time. And what I really appreciate about Meg is that she talks about big things in a very human way, understanding the human experience, understanding what we're all going through. We're all spiritual beings, but we're in these animal bodies and this human, you know, vessels, and Meg understands that and really provides beautiful understanding for the human experience, where we've come from and where we're going. So I invite everybody to tune in, drop in, and it's my pleasure to bring on board Meg Benedicte.
Thank you, Scott. What a great introduction. Thank you. This is a great event. I was on the Ascension panel yesterday with Deborah, and so it's great to come back here today and we can discuss ascension. We can take live questions. I can also do some little energy readings on people if they have questions about any ascension blocks or barriers they're experiencing. We can do a little activation. We've got looks like we have about an hour, so we can do whatever you feel like. But I'm gonna let you kind of vibe it and follow along.
Why don't you start by dropping us in. I think we just came out of a kind of a heady conversation. And so I'd love to suggest that maybe you drop us in, take us into an experience. Okay. I'll keep an eye on the questions coming in, and then I'll bring up questions. And as people ask questions, questions that are relevant to the group, we've got almost 250 people with us. There's always the ones I'm going to go to first, you know. How's that sound,
Meg? Yeah, that's best. The more that you can kind of dial in on what everyone can benefit from, that would be great. All right, so why don't I just kind of give a brief summary of how I got here and what we're going to do. So for those who are new to my work, I had a spontaneous Kundalini activation in January 1994 in the Northridge earthquake in Los Angeles. And I experienced an angelic soul walk-in come in at that moment, and it completely redirected my focus and my life and my purpose. I was just kind of, you know, a typical corporate girl at that time. And all of a sudden, it's like everything blew open and I saw the world for how it was. And I saw the artificial simulation running in everyone's minds. And I felt for a good decade or so like I was kind of an outsider watching and observing how life on planet Earth is and what is affecting the human mind and emotions and behaviors. And it was really quite shocking, actually. I had to really kind of work through quite a bit to be able to handle it all, but I had a lot of help. And so I've been working very closely with Archangel Metatron through this whole journey, and I've had actually some live visitations with him, and he's been in a way partnering with me to bring through Metatronian knowledge. And we work with, as you can see, Metatron's cube. We work with Metatron's cube. So we work with sacred geometry. We work with vortex energy. We work with crystal technology. This is all coming through again from the ancient mystery schools and even beyond Earth. And it's to be able to apply all this to accelerate our own personal ascension, which normally could take lifetimes and lifetimes. Think about it, we're doing this in like years. So this is really a very powerful experience. And that's why the vortex energy is so important, because we're gonna open it up around your energy body and field, and it does lots of things. So it's accelerating your energy frequency. We really need to kind of rise up and out of the low 7-8 hertz density that we've been stuck in. It helps you clear energies out of your field very quickly. It helps you also bring more of your soul presence into the body. So I'm gonna kind of start there. You kind of keep that in mind, and I'll connect with you remotely, and we'll go ahead and go through the activation steps, get the vortex open running, connect with our divine soul presence. Because one of the things that I noticed when I first started going through my process and then working with clients for the past 20 years is I would try to connect with my, you know, eternal I am presence, my soul presence, and it was never inside me. It was up in the aura. And I'm like, what the heck is pushing the souls out of the body? And that's what we're clearing. We're clearing, you know, lifetimes of trauma. We're clearing lifetimes of debilitating patterning and code and consciousness and unconsciousness. And so in a way, think of it like we've been like prisoners in our own dense vessel, and it's locked us into a three-dimensional paradigm that is of duality and separation. And so we're here to, in a sense, ascend into higher dimensional access. We're not leaving the body. We're opening up to fourth dimension, which is the astral plane. We're opening up to fifth dimension, which is unity consciousness. And so think of it that way. You're just going boom, boom, boom. You're expanding into higher dimensional access. So we use this technique to help us do that. Okay, so I'm going to get my little trusty crystals here, and we'll get started. It takes a couple minutes to walk through the steps. If you can sit like I am and have your feet on the floor, that would help, because we're going to use the whole body and the feet to lock like magnets onto the 5D crystalline grid. And this helps pull us more down into our bodies. So let's go ahead and kind of get out of the mind for a minute, and let's come into the body. So imagine you're just coming into the breath and the heart and the belly. a couple deep breaths and come inside with your attention, your focus, and your life force. And as we get centered into our bodies, then you can imagine your feet chakras like magnets, and they're just going to lock right onto your grounding path of light. And then we're going to go lower and connect onto the 5D crystalline global grid. Lock onto those ley lines wherever you are located. There we go. And you might even feel it kind of suction, kind of pull you onto it. And you're also welcome to connect to any of the sacred sites around the planet. I live here near Mount Shasta, so I connect to the portal of Mount Shasta. It's the root chakra of Gaia. And so not only do you ground where you're located, but you can also, just with your holographic mind, connect if there's any really favorite places that you want to connect to as well. So we're really starting to get now grounding. I can feel everything dropping. You might feel your energy kind of coming down into your hips, getting into your root, getting lower now. And so let's also connect to our team of spirit guides. So from the heart, we connect to Divine Mother, Father, Source. We connect to our divine soul presence, our God spark, our I Am presence, and our soul star family. We connect to our spirit team, our support team of angels and archangels and spirit guides and ascended masters. Connect to the shamans, the elders, and our protectors. And you call your team to come in and surround you with their love and their support. We're also working with Gaia and Mother Nature. Nothing can materialize in this planetary field without nature. So let's call in the nature spirits, the devas, the elementals of air, fire, water, earth, and ether. Just breathe in. You're setting up a very sacred space right now. And we're working with Archangel Metatron. So he just stepped in. He's going to embed Metatron's cube. If you can get the image of this, there's the outer six circles, inner six circles, and a center 13th circle. So you're going to step into the center and give that sacred geometry your love, your light, your energy, your life force. And it starts to activate it. Those 12 circles start to rise up as 12 pillars of light up and around the body and aura. And they're working like tuning forks. Imagine like they're humming, they're vibrating, because they are. And they're vibrating with the 12-dimensional Phi harmonics. And so this we hear as Om. So vibrating around you, and Om. And this begins to rotate them. You're going to start to rotate right to left. So if you're looking down from your higher self view to your body, it's going to go right to left, counterclockwise spiral around the body and aura. And we get that spinning up now. And it starts to accelerate. And it's beginning to open the field outwards and upwards into the higher dimensions. Ooh, that's good. Opening out. And let's get it going even faster towards the speed of light. And it begins to collapse the three-dimensional, four-dimensional time barriers and start to open the field all the way out to the quantum level. And there we go. Opening out. Ooh, there we go. And that lets us inside to the virtual particle field. This is what we call the unseen world, our energy field. And so let's come inside now that we can get in. We're going to work with our energy body, our chakra column, chakra pillar. It's also called the ascension column. And so let's go and start at the base root chakra. We'll point our focus into the hips, pelvic floor, root, and we're going to do an inward spiral as well, an ascension spiral, again, anti-clockwise. So you're spiraling up your chakra column, and as you move up, we're going to start clearing out, spinning out density and trauma, and just like sludge, just oof, clear out, opening up our chakra column, rising up, clear, open channel all the way up to the higher self at the top. And we go up and make a connection with your divine God self, however you see fit. I usually do like a heart-to-heart bond. It's beautiful light being, that is your divine self. And your soul is made of light and your sound waves, your soul signature. And so now we're going to start descending the soul presence back down into the body, down the channel. So again, we're looking up our channel and we're a clear, open receiver, breathing down and in, soul light, soul sound waves, soul essence, soul consciousness. And air comes in, it's just a stream of soul light and soul energy, soul consciousness flowing down, and it comes through the crown, down into the body. Keep breathing it down and in, filling into all your chakras, all the way down to the root. Ooh, there we go, all the way down and in. And they're just starting to pulse and vibrate with your soul light, your soul sound waves. This is your soul frequencies. And let's go to the heart. Big heart opening to soul love, soul light, soul presence. Because we've been disconnected most of our lives. So just let your heart, think about kind of like an upward facing container, just filling as the soul comes into the heart. And it's starting to become like a big golden sun radiating your soul light through the body and the aura. And it can even go beyond the edge of the body. It's just like a big cosmic heart. There you go. Ooh. Ooh. Beautiful. Now embedded in Metatron's cube is the double star tetrahedron Merkaba. This is the part of our light body. And so it's rising up from your feet where you're standing on Metatron's cube. It's starting to connect to that big cosmic heart, which is the center of your Merkaba torus. So the upward facing tetrahedron and downward facing tetrahedron, where they overlap right there at your heart center. So you're kind of getting it centered and activated with your soul light pulsing from the heart. There we go, starting to turn it on more. Now, we're using our holographic right brain to do all this work. We're not using the left brain. The left brain is the analytical thinking mind. It's not going to work. You have to come over and use your right brain that you visualize with. It's your multidimensional brain. It's what we use to move energies. We direct energies. We visualize. We tell it. We command it what to do. So if you found you were over there in that left brain, just come back over to your psychic, intuitive, holographic right brain. And as we're just pulsing in the heart and the vortex is spinning around, we can do a quick little clearing healing. And then we can continue with your questions. So let's just call in the crystalline diamond light of God. This is the God light coming down the channel, down the crown. Imagine you're like kind of in a shower of it. You're just letting it wash through the body, through the chakras and organs, down through the meridians and channels. There we go. This I use this every day, and this purifies us. It helps cleanse us of shadow and pain and suffering. And so let's just use that as you're in that flow of crystal God light washing through. We ask it to flush up and out and clear out, and the vortex will spin out all energy that you're working on right now, that you're processing and you're transmuting and you're completing and you're owning it. And this could be past emotional trauma, it could be cellular memory, whatever's coming up for you. It could be some past life energies coming up. And here we go, it's already starting to release. So we lift it out, release it. We just give it our love, our blessings, release it back to source light, to transmutate to light. Oh, there we go. Could be even if you were empathing energy from the volatile field that's happening right now. It's just a very polarized and divisive. And so let's do a flush of that. Just releasing any energy that I may have empathed from the volatile collective, the volatile field. Again, we release that, spin it out, flush it out, let it go back to source light, to transmute to light. And let that lift off. Spin out. Ooh, that was a good one. So that's been weighing us down a bit. Now, when we clear and we open and release these really old energies or discordant energies, it allows more of your soul to come down in and fill inside. So let's just breathe in a little more of your divine higher self, divine soul presence, filling in. anywhere you just clear, could be in the mental body, the emotional body, the physical body. Oh, we're getting a nice transmission coming down and in of your soul light, your soul consciousness, your soul codes. And it could be even activating more of your soul blueprint in your light body for your ascension. Just let it go wherever it's flowing in. I don't really control it. It knows what it's doing. It goes right where you need it. Ooh, another transmission coming in from your higher self, coming down and in. And these are your own light streams, your own codes, and soul consciousness activating your soul blueprint. Ooh, and as we're opening up more of this light body, that includes your Merkaba and your channel, your chakra column, imagine that you are locking your feet right onto your ascension timeline. I do this every morning as I go through the steps and I ground onto the crystal grid. Then I command that I am now grounding, connecting, and really integrating with my ascension timeline. And there we go. And you might feel some shiftings happening. Whew. This is our home base going forward on our path fully into our ascension blueprint. All right, we'll leave it there as that's running, and I'll go back to Scott.
Yeah, I'm grounding myself a little bit.
I know.
It's like, okay, I've got to function here.
I got to talk.
I want to invite everybody, feel free, everybody, to put in the chat box any experiences you're having. And a reminder that all experiences are okay. There's no right or wrong. There's no better or worse. You know, we each are unique little vibrations of this incredible thing. And so we each can have our own experience, even if it's uncomfortable. Okay. All experiences are okay. And there was a wonderful question, which I want to hear your response to, and then I have to admit I have a little bit of a question or something I'd like to add to it. And Mark Schneider wrote, is this an exercise of imagination? Physically, what is happening? Is this an exercise explainable in terms of normal human experience, or is it all in your mind? So I think it's a wonderful question.
All right, so it's definitely not all in your mind, because once you clear this density and you raise your vibration, you'll start feeling everything that's happening. And in the beginning, I didn't feel anything either because I was so dense. I had so much still that I had to open and release. But once it started to just kind of like peeling the layers of the onion, right? So things started lifting over time. And then all of a sudden I start feeling the tingles and I would go, oh, whoa. And I would say, all right, move there. And I would tingle there. I'm like, oh, okay. Things are actually really happening. So it is working on all the bodies, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. But if you aren't experiencing it, then I would continue to do the clearing so that you can. We are kind of using both electrical and magnetic. So we're using the mind, the right brain mind, to direct and command and move the energies and visualize what we're doing. And then that tells the body what to do. But we're also using the magnetic, the heart magnetism. So we're using both masculine and feminine, right? Mental and heart, masculine and feminine. And the heart is what's really working like the magnet that pulls in what matches you. It pulls in more soul. It pulls from the quantum field what you're visualizing. It pulls it into your reality. So you're working with both dynamics within your four bodies.
Beautiful. I just want to acknowledge all the people who are describing the different experiences. And again, some are comfortable, some are a little bit uncomfortable. I'm noticing I haven't smoked pot this year, and I feel like I just smoked a joint.
Right? I know, you're like, woo!
That's what I'm happening for me, which is, you know, I just want to vulnerably own. You know, I'd love for us to talk for a moment about imagination. I'm a big fan of Einstein, and he writes a lot about the power of imagination. And so often in the world we live in, we shut down our imagination because it's not supported. You know, it starts when we're children and we see somebody or we see something and the parent says, no, honey, there's nothing there. And then we stop seeing it. And so it goes. I'd love to hear, Meg, what you think about how
imagination and opening our imagination fits into the ascension process.
You're so right, because as children, we come in and we are quite open, and that right brain is really working, and that is what we're using for visualizing the imagination. I think the 5D field is the field of imagination. It's a holographic field that whatever we project into it, so we use our imagination and we project into it, it begins to respond to us, and it starts to, you know, to kind of ferment and begin to create, and then we use the heart magnetism to pull it in. So without that imagination, in a way, you're cut off from the powerful quantum field. And isn't that interesting that our society says, oh no, don't do that, cut that off. Why would they be doing that, right? So it's actually disempowering us, right? It's literally separating us from the power of the right brain, the holographic field, the imagination. But one caution is, what I found is a lot of light workers are really just kind of living in an imaginary world, but they're not grounded at all. So it's not grounded spirituality. They're basically fantasy thinking. They're not bringing any of it in. They're not using this powerful magnetism momentum and getting in the body and making it now show up in your outer reality. So that's a caution. And I think as we play with imagination, we begin to realize, oh, it's not really showing up. I'm doing all of this work and I'm visualizing and I got my vision board and I'm doing all this, but it's not really working. It's not coming in. And that's when you begin to then get more present in the heart magnetism, and then the law of attraction can actually really work. So I think when I go in and I look like in clients' right brains, it's almost dark. Like it's dormant. We've shut that off. And so that's what we're actually turning all back on. And the other thing that I noticed too is this third eye of ours is fascinating, because it kind of works like a camera lens. And so whatever we're visualizing gets projected through the third eye, like a laser beam of photon consciousness goes right into the collective field around us. And then that's when things begin to materialize for us. So we also want to get the third eye opened up so that we can kind of become like a television camera, right? And we're projecting what our outer reality will become. But there's a lot of distortion in the third eye as well. So that has to kind of get cleaned up. Think of it like, I see like almost like camera filters, distortion filters that we've gotten from our family, ancestors, the society, and all that. And those have to kind of get peeled off, cleared off. So the third eye is literally a window to the universe, and we can work with it.
Beautiful. When you talk about the distortion filters, there's a term I've coined actually that I call veils of past pain.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Right. It is, because it's like, yeah, we all have these veils of past pain that come down, and then we have to know what our veils are so we can be aware, oh, I'm not seeing you clearly right now because my fear that you're going to judge me is getting in the way, or whatever it might be, right?
True.
So identifying that is part of the self-reflection work that that's important for this kind of movement forward.
That's true. And it can also be distortion veils of how we see ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So we see ourselves as insecure or inferior, or I can't do that, or as a victim. That's a big one right now. And so it's getting those filters off as well. So this, but boy, once you start removing these, then you really aren't getting triggered or reactionary like you used to, right? You're getting out these patterns, healing those pain trigger points, you know, the core wounding, and then you are able to see clearly and consciously make choices and begin to create your reality with the holographic mind.
So Meg, kind of talking about the brain, because I'm big on that, and I know you are too. Obviously, when we are triggered, as we all know, we can get abducted by our reptile brain.
Right.
And science is proving that actually every generation further removed from trauma spends more time naturally in the frontal lobe and the temporal lobe, the empathy center of the brain, the observer part of the brain. The Dalai Lama, when they did research with him, his synapses entirely fired in the frontal and temporal lobes, even when they showed him pictures of Chinese soldiers burning down a Tibetan temple. So that's the movement forward. How does the ascension process, as you teach it, go along with that movement from reptile brain reactivity to frontal lobe responsiveness?
Well, that's a great question. And that is work I do every week. So it's like deprogramming the unconscious programs in that reptile brain. And I see them come in, as you mentioned, like, you know, they say six generations, you know, but at least we've got quite a bit of ancestral unconscious programming running in that reptile brain. And we also have societal programming running in the reptile brain. So usually what we do is watch for where you're triggered. So there, that right there is telling you, all right, let's say this person just pisses me off all the time, or whenever this, you know, keeps happening. So you watch for, those are your clues, all right, this mirror is reflecting back to you those clues. And then you start focusing on, so let's say it's a, you know, it's a certain behavior or feeling betrayed or feeling jealous, whatever it is, whatever the trigger is, you kind of lock your focus on how that makes you feel. And you start flushing all that light into the reptilian brainstem and command that out. So you're saying, all right, I no longer allow this program to run within my own being, you know, and you start, in a way, we come in and we take command of our own territory, and we start, I call it internal house cleaning. We get in there and we start clearing these programs out. I find we usually have to do some kind of cord cutting. If it is ancestral, we have to cut the links to the family. It is like a web or an entanglement that's been passed to us. We have to cut loose from that and clear that programming out. But I'll tell you, once you get it out, it doesn't show up in your outer world anymore. And if you even notice someone with that behavior that used to trigger you, you're just like, eh, you know, you're just totally neutral. That's telling you, you got it cleared. So watch for what triggers you. That's where I started, because I didn't know where to begin, but I knew I had to clear it. Maybe watch how your family treats each other. That's a good place to start. Or sometimes our work is our faux family. Watch what's happening at work, because that's also kind of mirroring whatever we have running from our family. And those, and then also too, if you meet someone, you have a really strong charge, there's probably some karma there, and it could be past life karma. That's your clue. Oh, there's some energy here. I need to neutralize. I need to heal. I need to clear. And so again, you just focus on it, let the feelings come up, and you begin using that God light to start to transmute it. And we have to own it. You know, we have to acknowledge it and we have to own it, but we don't have to re-experience all that trauma again. That's the beauty of this. That's why it's so fast, because you're just holding with it, right? You're just being with it and you're owning it. And you're like, okay, I am ready to liberate this out of my body, heart, mind. And then it starts to go. So it's really pretty a powerful transformation that happens.
Beautiful. I want to riff on a couple of things that Meg just talked about. She mentioned very briefly this incredible scientific fact that before we are even born, when we're in utero, we receive a genetic download from our mother of all the trauma of our ancestors going back at least six or seven generations. Yep. Now think about that. Six or seven generations becomes exponential. That's a lot of people, and that's a lot of lives. And so inevitably, in you go back that far, you're carrying the experience of being raped, the experience of being murdered, the experience of watching your family die, the experience of being in war. We all get that before we're even born. So we have this ancestral trauma. And that's why it's very important for us to understand, when we're doing this work, how much of this is personal, based on my personal experience in this life, how much of it is ancestral, which I think oftentimes people might experience it as past life, and that's okay, whether it's past life or ancestral, it's still in the archetypal consciousness of ourself. And then how much of it is transpersonal? How much of it is just, you know, especially those of you, most of people I'm imagining in this group that are watching us, the 230, are very empathic. So you're feeling what's going on in the world. So setting that up, Meg, how do you suggest people differentiating between personal, ancestral, or past life, and transpersonal?
Well, that's a good question, because you are going to have to allow yourself to get more sensitive. I know people don't like it. Like, I don't want to be so sensitive. I don't want to be an empath, but you actually need that. That's a gift, because then you can read energy. You can, you know, you're really in there and you're really understanding. I first started out as a clairsentient, so I feel it first. But then over time, the clairvoyance, the clairaudience, that started to get stronger. So, but first I just feel like, let's say as a child, I was obsessed about the house burning down, and I wake up in the middle of the night in a terror, right? And I'm like, oh, the house burning down. Well, I obviously had a past life where I burned, and then I also have some ancestral history where we burned, and then we might even have some collective where we burned. And so at that point, I just kind of worked on all of it, Scott, at once, because it was really, in a way, our service to help clear the collective as well. So as we're tackling our own, we're also helping clear it in the collective as well. So don't feel like you have to kind of compartmentalize it, kind of go all at burning. I'm just going into the burning, or drowning, or starving, or whatever. These are like primal fears that come up for people. And I had the starving one too. So it's, you just, again, you own it, you love it, you give it the light, and you just start helping your cells let it release. You know, you help pull it out of the chakras, you're pulling it out of the body, you're pulling it out of your auric, you know, astral plane, and you keep at it, because it probably will take a few attempts. You know, it's going to be a bit of a process, because that stuff's deep. So as I got more sensitive, I realized in my soul blueprint, I'm part of the group that's here as a transmutator of the planetary energies. So then there'll be times where I'll wake up in the middle of the night and it's like, oh my God, I'm in a battlefield. It's like, what's going on? And I realize, okay, this is global work. I'm transmuting like the war trauma that's held in the global field. So you might find that this stuff is strange, because then it doesn't feel personal, but it is still coming in. It's, you are feeling it, and you are helping clear the planetary field of just this, you know, massive history of wounding that we're here. So there are many lightworkers who are transmutators. That's part of their job. And my caution to you, because I didn't know this as well, was if you are a transmutator of the collective field, try not to move that energy through your body, because it makes us ill. So one of the things that I was guided to do, which may sound a little silly, but boy, is it working. I felt a lot of Lemurian energy, Lemurian Syrian support come in. And I work with other practitioners. And we all around the same time started getting images of the whales and the dolphins and how they're cleaning the oceans. And they're like, do it like them. And so it's like, bring the energy like through the gills and flush it out and transmute it, and don't bring it down into the body. So that's actually been working. It's very helpful.
I want to take a breath that in. I've never heard that before.
No, it was new to me.
What a wonderful visual, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and we can actually do that by bringing something in through our nose and exhaling through our mouth, mm-hmm. or vice versa. And the way it doesn't even come into our lungs or the rest of our body. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. That way we're keeping, you know, this healthy. We need this to be healthy. But we also need to do what we're here to do. So it works great.
a couple of questions. I'm going to take Ariana's question kind of, because it's long, but I'm going to kind of isolate it. She's essentially, if I'm understanding correctly, wondering how we can learn how to empower a benevolent timeline versus an apocalyptic, that's my word, apocalyptic or malevolent timeline.
Yeah. Well, I think that is part of what we're being called to do right now, because in a way there's this, especially in 2020, right? You can just feel these different timelines are trying to kind of grab hold and anchor in, and you have quite a bit of the light workers that have somehow gotten pulled into an Armageddon timeline, which is not helpful. It's not good for them. It's not good for anybody, but we can choose. So it's conscious choice of what you want to put your energy in and help anchor in. And so it was probably about like 2006, 2007, 2008, I really started getting guided by Metatron to bring in this new Earth hologram. This is the 5D hologram. Now, I'm not the only one doing that. There are others of the Wayshowers doing this, but we've been really, that's what I use my holographic mind. That's what I focus on. That's what I lock on. I'm constantly, think of it like you're a tent pole. You're bringing this thing down and you're grounding it into the Earth plane. You're an anchor point for it. And when and these other more destructive Armageddon timelines flap around, I just spin them out like, nope, you don't get to come in. Because for some reason, and I don't know if it's kind of the Christian end times running through the New Age group or what, but it somehow people think we need to like burn it all down. I don't think we need to. I think we're transformers. We're alchemists. We can come in and transform it into this new Earth paradigm. So I follow that route. I'm not giving any of power or energy to the burn it down Armageddon way. I don't think we need to go that way. Personally, I think that's a repeat of the Atlantean timeline running through people, and you guys don't want to be giving your energy to that. We're actually here to not make that same mistake. So I hope that answers Ariana's question, because it's really about what, again, we're talking about kind of the camera lens, you know, and what we're projecting and what we focus on. Focus on this new paradigm that is already live in the field, it's active, and we're here anchoring it in and living in it.
You know, I want to address that, because working with my clients, it comes up a lot. And I think, again, it goes back to what you mentioned, going way back to remembering Atlantis and previous big blowups. Yeah. But also, again, if you go back 6-7 generations, we all have had ancestors who watched their home burn down.
True.
Watched something that they had spent time building physically burn down, either through war or bombing. Or you know, whatever it was. Yeah. And so again, we all have a genetic memory of seeing what was precious to us burn to the ground. And I'm especially aware right now because of the California wildfires.
Oh, I know.
And in our show, we're donating money, and every day I'm talking to fire victims because we're supporting them. And so it's really in our memory going back. And it's in, again, the collective consciousness, because a lot of people's homes are burning down right now. So
it's
again,
true.
Then we take it in and we then apply it to our world, and this fear, which is an understandable consciousness of, oh my God, it's all going to burn down. Because we're clearly in apocalyptic times, but it doesn't have to be a Christian story of apocalypse based on whatever you might have been taught. Apocalyptic is just massive change.
Mm-hmm.
Meg is pointing us in the direction of 5D heaven on earth reality change, which we get to choose, but we also have to recognize when those other fears and those other stories and those other images, that whether they're coming from our history or our archetype, are coming in and fueling us. Does it make sense?
Yes. And those are like, they're kind of like traumatic memory imprints that, so once you feel that panic, like where I live here in Ashland, Oregon, we had fires in Ashland and burned two towns next to us, flattened them out. I was like, whoa. I mean, that just triggered a lot of panic. Again, the burning down panic came up, and it was, you know, it's like, think of it like an injury imprint. It's almost like a bruise on the soul, you know? And so we have to bring the healing light and be just really in a caring space with yourself and heal that, so that we're transcending this kind of generational collective trauma that's happened over thousands of years. And that Atlantean one is a doozy, boy. That was so catastrophic. And then most light workers had a timeline there. And so that needs to be dealt with. It needs to be acknowledged, owned, and healed. So we're not, because if we don't, we repeat it, and we don't want to repeat it.
All right, we've got 10 minutes left, and I want to get to some of the questions. Catherine asks, how to effectively clear the energy of being owned by men?
Well, it is about ownership. And so first you cancel any Let's just do it. So anybody, so if you feel you are being owned by anyone for that matter, let's just say that so everybody can work on it. So you want to focus on where you're feeling there is any claim on you or ownership. It could be a parent, a spouse, anyone. Okay. So we want to, we focus on it. We're getting the crystal God light running through into that energy, wherever it's held within us. And we cancel or revoke any allowance of any claims or ownership placed on us, on our bodies, on our hearts, on our minds, on our energy fields, on our abundance. We cancel or revoke it now, and we start reversing it out. So we use a vortex to spin that out anywhere it was active within us, and you start releasing it. And it could be even like a spell, claim, or vow. It could be an enslavement code from past lives or generational. Council will revoke any enslavement vow or ownership or claim throughout all time, past, present, future of all dimensions, space, time. And you laugh, ooh, and that comes right up the back spine, out of the brainstem. So it is starting to move out of the unconscious mind. And we release it back to source light now to be transmuted to light. And it's lifting. Ooh, I always feel those like we're caught in a web. And so as that starts to break loose, still releasing. And then after we clear any kind of claim or ownership or enslavement, then just come back in and you're going to reset inside to your divine soul presence, your soul code, your soul blueprint, your soul essence, your soul operating system as a sovereign being. As a child of Divine Mother, Father, and in a way, you are claiming your essence, your life force, your power, your life. And there we go. It's like a reset goes right back in. That was a good question.
Yeah. Here's another good one for you. Nisa asks, do you think it's possible to transmute the toxins in the world, chemical waste, nuclear waste? Is there somehow that we can make them neutral?
I do. And I know of grid workers that join every week and are working on this. So if that's something that calls you, that might be something to either form a grid group, a transmuter group yourself, or join another one. And we basically follow how Source wants us to do this. And so we use the vortex that spins around the planet. It is an anti-clockwise vortex that spins around the planet. So, you know, why the sun, you know, rises in the east and settles in the west. So it's all moving that direction. And you can use it. So you lock on to, let's say, toxic pollution in our waters, and you start flushing the oceans, you start spinning this stuff out. And so you can point that anywhere that you are finding toxins, because it's everywhere. We have a toxic planet to clean up. And so this is great work to do. This is a calling for many. So yes, please do it. It's and you can work with the elementals and the dolphin whales. You can work with all the plant, animal, and crystal kingdom that are here helping to, because this is where Gaia is literally healing, arising out of that kind of carcass of the lower earth that's dying. We're just helping Gaia also ascend into, and when you really get into this fifth dimensional field, Gaia is like shimmering crystal lights, vibrating. She's beautiful. So we're just helping whatever is left kind of in the lower physical earth to clear and heal.
Beautiful. I have brought up Meg Benedicte's website. And I want to kind of, because I think many of you are going to want to get a lot more experience of Meg. So tell us a little bit about unlocking the sacred keys to becoming a divine human. How do people learn that from you?
All right. So there's a couple ways you can just dive in. I have my book that's all about how to unlock those keys. We also have a podcast that I do every month. It's a global podcast. We do global activations. If you really want to get involved in working with the planetary field, I do live global activations every month. So you would go and listen. There's 10 years of podcasts there. We've been working on this a long time. Our next one is this October 17th. 9th, we're doing actually a mental health global activation. And also on October 28th, we're doing a global peace activation. We'd love everybody to join. So those are some ways. There's lots of courses there that you can take to work with my healing modality. It's called Quantum Access, and working with Metatron and jumping right in and applying it to your own personal ascension as well.
Beautiful. And that's by going to your website, which is www.megbenedicte. So that's B-E-N-E-D-I-C-T-E. And thank you, Tanya, for putting that up in the chat box for us. Any last parting thoughts that you want to share, Meg?
Oh, well, we're in such a volatile time, but it's also like game on, right? You know, now we know, because I'm a long timer, I've been doing this for 26 years and wondering, I think we thought what was going to happen in 2012 is actually happening now. This is the year that everything has kicked into gear. We're getting more and more into the physical ascension now. It's not so much, you know, kind of an esoteric path. Like this is, it's literally getting into us. It's changing us. It's mutating our DNA into crystalline 12-strand DNA. There's so much happening. Our light body's activating. So anything you can do to support this process, please, you know, just get grounded every morning. See if you can carve out just even like 10 minutes to meditate so that you're coming more inside, being present with your divine soul presence instead of, you know, all the distractions out there. Get used to being within yourself, and also watch whatever energies that you're bringing in, because we, you know, we're constantly ingesting energy into our field. So watch, you know, of course what you eat, but also, you know, what you watch on YouTube or who you're hanging out with, or, you know, just be careful, be careful, you know, be discerning of what you're allowing in. I find even I have to clean my field every night. I take a salt bath. I do an energy cleanse, because even I'm empathing in energy from the chaos field. And so it's about self-care. We need to also try to be as calm and balanced as we possibly can as the changes continue, because they are going to continue. So our job is like stabilizers. We're here to just kind of hold the field stable, keep focusing on this beautiful new earth paradigm that's alive for all of us. That's why we're here. We are the transmuters, we are the senders, and I'm excited about what's coming.
You can find more from Meg Benedicte on our website, portaltoascension.org. Sign up there as well to receive thousands of hours of free presentations. And there's also paid ones, but you can just sign up and receive so much information there. And on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/portaltoascension, there's a few videos from Meg, and of course, many, many, many other people. So go ahead and check that out. If you want to support us, you can go to Patreon at Portal to Ascension on Patreon and sign up there for exclusive bonuses. We're also on Facebook. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Instagram at @MC_resonance. That's at @MC_resonance. So now today's act, today's musical and musical/performance really, is another good friend of mine, Emerald. And my wife, Sol, and I had the pleasure of meeting her and connecting with her in Peru when we went down there for an ayahuasca retreat. That was like, I think around 4 or 5 years ago now, but we've stayed connected ever since. And I really witnessed her as she's witnessed my spiritual growth. And now she's really tapped into, you know, her own self, you know, exponentially, really through her spiritual growth. She's been connecting with who she really is, and also her connection to the stars and cosmos. So introducing Emerald for a light language and performance download/activation. Thank you all so much for joining me here today. Love you all. See you again soon.
I appreciate this invitation to be here today, because Portal to Ascension and Neil and all the work that you do are just magical in my life. All right, so let's get into it. I'm going to go ahead and set my timer here so that we don't go beyond the 10. What I'm going to do today is share with you some things that I wrote in order and then forgot about until I knew about this opportunity, and one that I've written since being here, actually two. So we're going to get a little bit overworldly too, let's just say, and let's get into it. It'll just be little excerpts of this and that, okay? So possibility horizons, poems to float to, that if you stay afloat just beyond the horizon is an island of dreams. If your feet fly across the desert, there's an oasis of we, of guides and spirits, magicians and lights, angels and galactic cousins, asteroids and the like, to meet you, to greet you, to wish you very well, to hug you, and to hold you, and to break any binding spell. Hope may not always be there, but there always be you, right? So we just gonna keep doing what we do. Moving right along. I wrote this when I was going through a lot of things and needed some sort of anchor, and I opened up a book and saw the words Crow Jacoby, and I dreamt of them. So this came out. My Hayoka baby, Crow Jacoby, he showed me all the seas of stories that I missed when I kissed him, and he was never cross with me. He held me in feather soft embraces. He sang to me in spaces so unsweet when my Saturn came back to meet me. My Crow Jacoby was there to greet me. We said we shan't repeat the past lives we lived to lead. We also died to leave them. We now only retrieve them to love and then release them and plant a different seed. Moving right along. Let's get into something that I've written since coming to Tulum. And each day I fall into some mid-beginning and keep living. And each night and half evening, I find myself sleeping, blissful dreaming, steeped and steaming. I'm like the moon beaming, doom retrieving, transmute, receiving. This message, this blessage, but we could never be less. I have stressed that Uriel knows best, written out of books, and humans mostly failed to pass the test. This is me at rest, always confessing a truth, always connecting misuse of divine guidance, asking myself, what is the use but truth? Now everything is permitted. Our soul's been benefiting. We are outfitted with timeless ties to embolden lies, cutting cords from the lower lords, blocking blockages, locking augmented patterns of deception. You can process, you can handle this reception. Trying to tell you that the heroes are here. Yeah, you made it. Yeah, it's you. So listen up and let's be clear. You have previously been controlled by your fears. I'm here to tell you that the real gods and spirits is here, hidden in a human body for all these goddamn years. But we're evolved. We're evolution. Revolution is near. So have you met your higher self yet? Integrated with your spiritual wealth yet? I come as Gabrielle Andromeda and even Bastet. I come as Archangel, Queen of Heaven, like a quartet. Like Rafa, Mikael, and Flight Bar Soul Group. So let's get into it. All right, so the other day, thank you, y'all. The other day, I was sitting at this place called Taqueria La Eufemia. It's at the end of the hotel zone out here in Tulum. And Tulum is known for a lot of different things. And the tourist industry out here is pretty nuts. It's pretty crazy. And doesn't necessarily go very well with the ancientness and the sacredness of this place. It can kind of be at odds with it. In fact, it can be very directly be at odds with it at times. And at the same time, there's a lot of healing that happens in the hotel zone. There's a lot of money that gets spent in the hotel zone. Okay, so I was writing this from the hotel zone, but from a really chill spot called Taqueria La Eufemia. So I wrote at the top, today's a fucking trip. I was staring at the ocean. So written from Taqueria La Eufemia, where the Wi-Fi password is fucking tacos. I'm damn near at the end of the hotel zone. And this is one of those spots they say hasn't been ruined by the tourists. Mix of gringo expats and Mexicans. It's a cool spot, won't lie. Nice mix of music, and the sea is looking like a sea should look, could look, has been looking in my mind every time I see a screensaver. This is like an Anthony Bourdain place. Or the opposite of one, but his energy came up suddenly, de repente, so I went for it. You wanna know Tulum from my eyes? It's just moments, moments like this. I'm good at running into people here, so is everyone. I'm high here, tapped in, I mean, riding those same waves somehow, all swirling in this earth's sacral chakra, making some collective rotation that is seeding the new era. We are multi-generational, multi-dimensional, mind combustion. A bunch of some conscious blood cells about to be birthed out or fall deeper into, well, you know. She brings the rain, starts playing. She brings the rain. It feels like spring. Who's singing to me? Oh yeah, she brings the rain, best believe it. Meanwhile, I'm inhaling my tacos de huevito con chaya y queso huaqueño y otro de pescado con sla. There's a big ass dog slash wolf behind me. No clue how he survives the heat. Balto over here appeared like a gray bear behind me. Husky dog my ass. The song Pusher Man is playing right now, right this moment. The wolf. And now something that sounds like 80s Mexican party music. I'm here for the mix. Now it's just time to enjoy, plot, and thank my lucky stars for landing me in this. So we have a little bit more time, and I think that we'll just go ahead and get extra alien and otherworldly and intergalactic, because that's the energy that I was in yesterday. So with these couple minutes left, I'll just give you all a little transmission, because surely since I've been in Tulum, I have to tell you that the ancientness and the sacredness of this place has definitely reached me, and that's what I'm doing out here. So ain't no point in hiding it, right? Okay, I think y'all are ready. So what's up, y'all? I go by Emerald Tlatuani. You can call me Esme, which is the nickname for the word Esmeralda, right? Which is what I'm called in Spanish-speaking countries and places. I come to you from the star realm. Although I've been in a body for 30 years, which is one of the things I talked about in my writing. I speak this language called light language by many people. Some people call it speaking in tongues, and you can call it whatever you like. But this is known as the language of the ancients, of the angels, and even the demons. I want you to know whenever you hear me speaking that you have full control over your vessel and your vehicle, and that I'm not here to frighten you, not here to threaten you, just here to offer you some healing. I really appreciate you listening to my words that I wrote mostly from the perspective of this human body. Because I am shedding that. I am shedding that and allowing myself to become more expanded and more multidimensional. And the reason is because we're now in the age of Aquarius, the age of information. And it's time for us to come together and transcend these things like race, class, sex, gender, our origin stories from our human bodies. And I'm just here to help in that evolution and in that revolution where human beings remember their divine nature and can access it at any point in time. And since I'm almost out of time, I just want to say thank you so much for your openness to receiving that. And if it didn't feel good for you, you can release it and drop it and just leave it here. And if you loved it and want to hold on to it, just know that it's already a piece of you. And I'm so grateful to have been able to share that with you. And I'm so grateful to see your amazing faces here. And to my brother Neil for this opportunity, and to Neil and E.E. Watts for hosting. I love you all so much. And thank you, thank you, thank you.